Hey, it's time for Voice Over Body Shop Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. And it's Tech Talk number 101. We've been doing it for, God, there's so much information. Everything you would ever want to learn about how to get a good voiceover studio is in every one of those 101 episodes. Well, the 100 we've done so far, anyway. And we'll come up with more. But we got lots of cool stuff to talk about tonight. George, we've got our presentation from NAMM, even though I wasn't there, but you were there. But we were both sort of there. We'll be getting that in a little bit. And we're going to talk about, don't be intimidated by all this stuff. And, of course, your questions. So throw them in the chat room. If you've got any question about home voiceover studio technology, that's the place to go and ask it right now. How often do you get the chance to ask those questions to us personally? Well, sort of personally. Anyway, it's time for Voiceover Body Shop Tech Talk right now. VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com, your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George. Well, hello there, if you haven't figured it out by now. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
Yeah.
The only thing.
No, not that one. That one. Tech talk. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Enough radio crap. Okay. Anyway, we're here to help you with your home voiceover studio. That's what we do. You know, I'm a full-time voice actor, and I work on people's home voiceover studios all over the place, all over the world. I've created studios in Egypt where they don't use carpeting. It's like all tile walls. How do you create a home voiceover studio in a place like that? And it's great doing house calls and realizing that every room is different. Mm-hmm. Every voice is different. And everybody thinks, oh, I got to get the right microphone for my voice. Well, we'll talk about that. The fact of the matter is you really need to talk to somebody who actually knows everything about it and how to create the right voiceover studio for you, because one size does not fit all in this amazing business. We've got to custom design your space. Yeah, you know, we could call it a home voiceover studio, when in reality, in most cases, it's a closet full of clothes, which sounds better than some of the professional studios here in L.A. and New York and Dallas and places like that. and that's what we do, is we figure out how to get that sound right. To me, everything is physical. You know, I mean, yeah, there's technology. Yeah, there's certain filters you may need to use, and sometimes building a stack to get things in a certain way, especially for audiobooks and stuff. But you've got to learn how to physically set up a studio. And that's what George and I do. And George builds these voiceover palaces. And if you want to build yourself a voiceover palace, where do they go?
go to georgethe.tech. There's a thing on the site about designing studios, and I can help you with that. Yeah, whether it's a palace or just making the best sounding booth you can with the budget you've got for a room in your apartment, I can help you out. And there's all sorts of stuff on that site. There are so many ways we can help you. Our team of tech support folk are standing by, literally. We've got folks who are available for booking almost around the clock, and some even available on extremely short notice if you call our tech support hotline at 424-226-8528 and press number 9, and you will literally be patched to a live human being who can help you in a pinch. And last week we had two people avail us of that service. So
yeah.
There's a lot of ways we can help you. So please do check out georgethe.tech and my partner over there. He's got his own site and he's got his own way of helping you out over at
homevoiceoverstudio.com. You know, it's always fun when my beeper goes off. You know, we're technologically advanced. We've got beepers. No, it's just we get a text.
It would be kind of nice sometimes to bring back the beeper.
I know. Anyway, homevoiceoverstudio.com is where you can find me. Easy to contact me there. If you've got a problem with your home voiceover studio, or if there's something you don't understand, or you are starting from scratch, I can get you going very, very quickly. And you know, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about not being intimidated by this stuff. One of the ways you do that is by talking to somebody who actually knows what they're doing. And if you go over to homevoiceoverstudio.com, you will see all the different services that I offer. But the one that everybody seems to love, I keep wondering, was this a really smart idea? Are people going to get disgusted by this? But no, I have the specimen collection cup right there. that looks more like gold food, goldfish food. Anyway, go over there for $25. I will give you a thorough analysis of your audio to make sure. Oh, you do have a specimen collection. I'm not going to ask what you're doing with that. Just click on there. Follow the instructions to a T and try to do your audio raw. I don't want to hear how you're processing it because, as George and I will tell you, some people are destroying their audio because they want it to sound the way they want it to sound. And, of course, it's important to realize that you don't hire you.
That's right.
And we want to make sure that you sound as good as everybody else,
we
if not better.
Whistle.
Which stands for what it's supposed to sound like. And we know what that is. Anyway. We got some video now from NAMM, so lead us into it, Mr. Whittem.
Yeah, so I was at the NAMM trade show. People wondering to know what the heck that is. That's the National Association of Music Merchants, and really it's a huge trade show where you'll see a lot of things completely irrelevant to voiceover and a few things that are, and that's why I go. It's fun. It's not that far away. It's a drive down the road, and I was able to secure us a little media center where I was able to sit down and chat with Dan remotely. And here is our little conversation.
Meantime, if anybody's got a question for us about their home studio or any of the new gear at NAMM or any of this kind of stuff, throw it in the chat room. I know you're all there.
Yeah, I'll grab Timothy's question. But after what I'm doing here is I'm at this trade show, which on the surface has absolutely nothing to do with voiceover. It's
None.
Called the National Association of Music Merchants.
Listen to that noise floor.
And
there.
The reason I'm here is because I've been coming to the show since 2009 or 8. And what I found was, well, pro audio lives here. So there's a tremendous amount of pro audio things happening at this show. A lot of microphones, acoustic treatment, audio interfaces, preamps, mixers. There's a lot of gear happening at this show. And that's why I come. It's fun. I'm still a techie at heart. I'm still an engineer at heart. I love this stuff. And that's why I come. I hope to discover some new cool tech, which I have. I discovered the Stage Ninja, what's it called, the Scorpion, the bendy mic arm, you know, with the A clamp. I saw that here the first time. I saw GIK Acoustics here the first time. I've seen all these kind of products that launched here, and it's just, that's why I'm here. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Timothy said, where can we find that research, George? Me too, Ed, about mic placement within a booth. Well, that research hasn't really been done yet. He knows how to map rooms, but now I have to basically consult with him and hire him to start mapping rooms for voiceover booths, so the really small booths. Because he hasn't been mapping out ISO booths for VO yet. He's been doing larger rooms, but when I talked to him last year, he said that it was something that he could help with. So I had a little talk with him on Zoom once. He's in France. He's a really good dude. And the bottom line is, when he's ready, I just have to hire him. So you know, I gotta hire him to do it. So it'll cost some money, but at some point, we hope to do that. That should be cool.
Yeah, it's you know, when it comes to you know mic placement and all that, there are some basic rules that we've showed everybody about, you know, the rule of three and you know, not having the mic directly in front of you, so you have plosives and things like that. I mean, if you've got it like here, the thing is what we'll usually do is we'll move it around in your booth and try and find the sweet spot in there. And it's usually not a big variation. A lot of times it has to do with the height of the mic or where you're sitting and, you know, that sort of thing. If you stand up and sit down.
If you're too close to the ceiling, you get bass reflex off the ceiling because there's something called a pressure zone. That's where the low end builds up and collects and gets trapped up at the ceiling. Well, those pressure zones happen at every surface, the ceiling and the four walls on the floor. But the ceiling ends up being the one that you forget about because you're not looking at it. It's right above you. And that's really one of the worst spots, right? So sitting down or at least lowering you and your mic so that you're on a leaning stool or a bar stool might be enough to make a considerable difference in the sound. So, so that's what it's going to be all about is like, instead of doing a lot of guesswork, my hope is to say, your room is X dimensions. Oh, okay. Well, if you put the microphone in one of these five locations, the mic will be in a null spot and it won't pick up those room modes, you know? So that's the kind of thing that I'm looking into figuring out on a more scientific level. It's not that hard to do it by ear, and we do it. Just thought it'd be cool to have a little more science behind it. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of people watching live here, and once again, George is at the NAMM show, which stands for the National Association of Music Merchandisers. That's right. Did I get that right?
Yeah, music merchants, exactly. It's really intended for it's intended for music stores, really. This is where the ma and pa music stores of the world, like I used to work for in Westchester. Shout out to Taylor's Music of Westchester, established in 1929. And my dad is consulting for them, helping them revamp their retail right now, which is pretty cool. But it's where store owners and buyers for these stores would go and see product, play the guitars, play the instruments, test them out, see what they like, and then write a big check to that vendor and order the equipment for that year. That's traditionally what the NAMM show was all about. Things have changed a lot in the last few years, and that kind of marketplace for the vendors, that's kind of cooled down a bit. And now there's a lot more, it's a little more consumer electronics-like now. There's a lot more consumers here. Saturdays, when everybody's off work, it's a friggin' freak show. I mean, it goes off. I've seen people wearing vestigial dragon tails. They're walking around. I've seen people with holes cut in their outfits in the weirdest places. It is fascinating because everybody is here. There's a lot of musicians, a lot of pro audio producers, celebrity musicians here doing autographs, signing, meeting their fans. There are incredible studio musicians here who are just here to play the instruments for those vendors. So they're hanging out at the booth and shedding and playing playing the latest guitars or playing the latest drums or whatever. So that's the kind of stuff that happens here. But what's interesting is the vendors that are not here. I used to come here and I used to see Neumann Sennheiser every single year. Big, amazing booth, a stage where they had musicians playing and performing. Not here anymore.
They're not doing the big shows anymore, from what I hear.
What I've been told from them, I don't think I'm saying anything out of school here, but they find it's more valuable to do smaller events, some things that they'll produce themselves, things like VO Atlanta, things like trade shows that are niche trade shows. They feel that that's more valuable because now these shows are sort of a catch-all. And frankly, what I've been told by one vendor was they get tired of another musician walking up to them going, I'm so-and-so, I play this instrument, and I'm looking to get an endorsement deal from your product so I can get one for free. And that's kind of what they're dealing with over and over and over, one after another. They're basically being solicited by musicians wanting to get free stuff. It's kind of, and so they're like, why are we doing this? So anyway.
Yeah. We got a couple of questions. And again, if you've got a question, just throw it in the chat room, whether you're in Facebook or in YouTube, and I know there's a lot of people in YouTube. Just type it in the chat room that's there, and we'll get to the question. We got one here from TD Nightfall, who says, have you come upon the new NEV interface?
I will. They are definitely here. I saw it here last year, actually. So it's been out for a year. So I will pick it up. I will fondle it. I will turn the knobs. and that's about it. That's about all I'll probably get to do with it. For those that don't know, the new Neve audio interface, I think it's called the 88 something. 88R, 88R, or R88, something like that. It's basically Neve saying, here is the best preamp we've ever made. Here's the same preamp that you're going to get in one of our big mixing consoles, but now it's inside a little box with a USB jack where you can plug it right into your computer. It's got transformers, so those that know what those are for, what and why they might like them, they're already in there. That gives a little bit of fatness and a little bit of an edge to the sound. But at the end of the day, it's just a very, very expensive Scarlett 2i2.
And why spend that much money on something that it's not like going to change the way you read copy?
It's a $1,300 Scarlett 2i2. I would never tell them that into their face. But that really is kind of what it is. Yes, it has a lot of gain. Yes, it's got very, very high quality circuitry. Yes, it's clean. But functionally, from a, in terms of like how it can help you in your home studio, that's really about it. It's just a really high quality preamp with a USB jack on it. Whereas like the thing I'm working on, the Passport VO, is an extremely useful functional device that will make your studio life easier, right? Different idea behind why you would buy a new audio interface. So I'll still give you my thoughts if I see it.
Yep. Next question from Jonathan Grant. Sweetwater's been pushing Jumpers brand XLR cables and claims that they're comparable to Mogami Gold. Well, how do you determine that? Do you guys know anything about these cables? They're made in Detroit. Well, at least they, you know, they roll well.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, there's literally only a handful of companies that make the actual copper core that goes inside the cable, right?
Right.
There's Mogami, there's one that starts with a C, there's Belden, and then the rest is all probably mass-produced Chinese cable, right? I could be wrong about that. I don't know if Jumpers is a company that does their own cable fabrication so that you're buying something uniquely Jumpers. I don't know. What do I look for in a cable? I look for a good quality Neutrik microphone connector on one end. I look for a decent thick insulation that's not too thin, flimsy. I look for sometimes star quad, which is a buzzword, but star quad mic cables can isolate a little bit better when you have really bad RFI. Like if you have a radio station, if you live right next to the CN tower, a mic cable with star quad shielding will do a lot better.
Wow.
Those are things I look for. You don't need to spend Mogami Gold prices to get those things.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'll check it out. If I see Jumpers here, I'll see what they're doing. If you're spending more than $50 on a 10-foot mic cable, you're probably overspending. But I also wouldn't buy the house brand stuff from. I wouldn't buy Livewire. I wouldn't buy the house brand cables either. I would stay away from HOSA for your mic cable. Not that it's going to fail you, but if you're going to have one mic cable, which most of you need a mic cable, spend a little bit of money on it. Go with like the Mogami grade wires and kind of in that price point. So anyway, well, I'll check it out and see if I see them around.
Okay. Next one.
I was actually doing a little research on that because I didn't see Jumpers and I didn't know anything about Jumpers. It's a new company to me. And they do make a standard 3-conductor microphone cable. They make a star quad cable, as I was just describing. I don't know what separates them from Mogami or the others. Maybe they can compete on price. It's got all the basic important things, which is oxygen-free copper, a good quality Neutrik microphone connector. It checks all the basic boxes, so can't say why Jumpers would be any worse than any other good quality handmade microphone cable. So that one was new to me. We had a lot to talk about, and there was a lot more to talk about. In fact, the majority of the time that we were in that set talking was actually with Booth Junkie, Mike Delgaudio. And that was a lot of fun. It was a long interview. And what we decided to do was to actually put that up on the site, on the website. We'll have it up on our YouTube and social media so you guys can check that replay out of that interview. It's about 37 minutes long. And you guys can and consume what Mike had to say. As far as I know, he was his first NAMM. He had never been before. And he was just there to absorb. And also, he had a lot of vendor relationship meetings to make while he was there, because he has a lot of vendor relationships. I told him in advance, like, I'm not going to make a lot of vendor relationship meetings. I want to just be free to roam. And so I made no meetings at all this year. I didn't make any promises. I just roamed the halls and took my time and had a lot of conversations, not on camera, with acoustics companies. I talked to this company, PSI, out of Switzerland, and talked to one of their engineers about their new active bass trap technology. Because I have
active bass trap technology.
Active bass trap technology.
Define active bass trap.
It's maybe what you might think if you think of active, meaning like it takes whatever sound it hears, and when it hears a sound that's a resonating frequency, its own microphone hears that frequency, then it creates a sound wave that's essentially out of phase with those frequencies and helps to cancel them out.
Oh, sort of like noise-canceling headphones.
It's kind of like big, ginormous noise-canceling headphones for an entire room. It only works below 150 hertz. And what he had told me was that's because as you go higher in frequency, the system would have to be much faster at counteracting those higher frequencies. And there's a point where the system, the software and the DSP and everything isn't quick enough to respond as you go higher and higher and higher. That's why your noise-canceling headphones that you use aren't going to cancel out speech and really much other high-frequency sounds. You know, they're awesome at rumble and awesome on the airplane. They certainly make your life much more comfortable on a plane. But really, if you want the best noise-canceling possible, you need a really good, tight, airtight seal, like on the AirPod Pros and some of the other Bluetooth earbuds that have noise-canceling. They have to have an airtight seal, a silicone seal. And then the rest of the noise canceling is actually handling the low frequency, and that's the active part. So anyway, I have one of these units. I actually got one to borrow, not at the show, but directly from my vendor rep at Westlake Pro. And I need to get my tests finished because I've had it for about a month. I've been dragging my feet on this. And this is no small deal. This thing is made in Switzerland. They sell for $2,500. So I have to show that this thing is actually useful in a voiceover booth or not. I see the main pro being that if you're really in a small booth and no matter what you do, you still have some low-end resonances, this will help correct that. Is it worth it? I'm not really so sure. If you have a larger room that you do production and you do mixing and sound of mixdowns, then maybe it makes more sense, because getting a larger room to control the low end below, say, 60, 50 hertz can be extremely difficult and costly, in which case an active bass trap might be helpful. But anyway, it was just fun getting to talk not just to some sales reps, but to the actual engineers who collaborate and build these products. So I really enjoyed that. So anyway, stay tuned. We're going to have that package up that nice interview we have with Mike Delgaudio, the Booth Junkie, shortly.
Yeah, I will try and get that up there when we're done with this.
Cool.
I've gone to NAMM with you a couple of times. You know, this time I decided not to, because I can't walk that much.
It's a lot of walking,
and it is completely overwhelming.
Especially
when you're in the music area, because it's all music.
Yeah, you could hear the room tone was kind of mind-boggling. It's worse when we had Mike on, because then we had two open mics.
Yeah.
So it was really pretty intense.
Yeah. Well, and once the band stopped playing, I could hear you pretty clear.
By the way, there's going to be all the videos that maybe you thought you were going to see of me walking around, they do exist. I will be releasing them on the George the Tech YouTube channel over the course of the next week as I get them edited and posted. So stay tuned for that. For people that want to see me talk to these vendor reps about their wares, that will be available.
Yeah. And if you have a question right now, because we're live here and we can take your questions, all you have to do is throw them in the chat room right now in Facebook Live or YouTube Live or on LinkedIn. You can ask any question you want about the home voiceover studio, problem you're having, or equipment, or stuff that you want to buy, and we're going to tell you, no, you don't need that. Or, yeah, you're definitely going to need that.
You probably don't need an active bass trap, but...
But you just can't wait to try it, though, right?
I mean, it's pretty cool to be loaned some pretty expensive esoteric stuff and get time to play around with it.
Yeah.
That is one of the more fun things that I get to do. But Dan, you're here to tell us a little bit about the opposite of active bass traps, which is don't be intimidated by overly expensive, complex technology.
Yeah. Now, remember, this show is totally unscripted. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick something to talk about. And one of the things that I find from a lot of people who contact me is they're like, I'm an anti-tech nerd. I don't understand tech. I'm intimidated by all this.
I'm Amish.
In which case, you're in the wrong business. it's an interesting thought there. The fact of the matter is, you should not be intimidated by it. Here's how I straighten it out with most people, and they all go, oh, now I get it. Sort of like my son, Jacob, who's like, you know, how does this work? Well, you just do this and you do that. Oh, I've been going all the way around and trying to do it. I'm like, no, just do it that way. Here's how you have to understand recording on a computer. Forget that it's a computer. It's called a computer, but what it really is a data and information exchange device that does all sorts of stuff with ones and zeros. But what it does is, you know, it's taking the analog signal from your microphone and turning it into the ones and zeros that your computer understands and turns into the graphic representation of what your waveform looks like. And so you can edit it and manipulate it. So change your whole, you know, as Tony Robbins would say, we're going to reframe this. And the way you reframe it is by telling yourself, this is not a computer. This is a cassette recorder. Play, stop, record, rewind. That's all it is. Forget about all of this tech stuff that people like. Yeah, you got to have this mic and you got to have this channel strip and you got to have this, that, the other thing and all these other things. And you got to have these headphones and you got to have this. And this makes me sound great. So you should use it too. And the fact of the matter is, again, as we said at the top of the show. You look like one of those Batman characters.
I need more headphones.
You need more headphones. It's amazing. I've got these headphones. Does that make a difference in what I sound like? Well, not to anybody
else. They only make a difference in what you sound like to you. That's how they make a difference.
Right. So the real thing here is that I wanted to get to is don't be intimidated by the tech. We can recommend stuff to you that is easy to understand and... What we want you to be able to do is get your studio set up, you hit record, and you become a voice actor and stop worrying about being an engineer. Yes, is there some stuff that you need to understand about formats and sending files to people and stuff like that? If you start to look beyond that, then you are an audio geek. And the fact of the matter is audio geeks don't hire voice talent. Producers do, George and I talk to these guys all the time. They are not audio geeks. They'd like to think they are, but the fact of the matter is most of them are as intimidated by the technology as you are, and you can see that by some of the specs you're sent, where they say, "Yes, we want broadcast quality," not explaining to you what broadcast quality means. And for those of you who know me, broadcast quality to me means it doesn't sound bad. There's nothing that is distracting the listener from your voice, which is the only thing that they need to hear. They don't want to hear background noise. They don't want to hear electronic noise from the fact that you're using a lousy microphone or a lousy interface and you're cranking it all the way and you're getting that sound of a far off mm-hmm. waterfall. Did you get that, George? Could you hear in your headphones? Okay, good.
Yeah.
So don't be intimidated. If you want help with getting this stuff done, talk to George or I and watch our show and understand that it is not technologically way over your head. It's hit record and go, and we're going to make it as simple as possible. All right, we got a few questions from our wonderful audience that is out there, and if you've got one, throw it in the chat room right now in Facebook Live or in YouTube Live, or I don't know if you can do it in LinkedIn if you're watching
LinkedIn. LinkedIn works too.
So you can send us your questions right now about anything. So except marriage advice. Although I could probably give you a little bit about that too. I've been married 30 years. I must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll be right back and get to those questions right after this. So don't go away.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're enjoying VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. VOBS.TV.
Vacation time is just around the corner, around the world. For example, here's Australian voiceover pro Andrew Peters on vacation in London recording a commercial with his Portabooth Pro. Why is the Portabooth Pro gaining users worldwide? Well, just listen.
Winter's tough. The rain, the wind, the cold.
Performers can capture great audio even in acoustically untreated spaces with the Portabooth Pro. Your microphone hears the sound of a human-sized sound booth at a fraction of the size and cost. The Pro accommodates large and long microphones, lengthy scripts, and e-reading devices. The Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro is lined with Auralex Studio Foam. It's a professional-quality sound studio that assembles in less than a minute. And its multi-pocketed carrying case makes it super easy to take your gear and your voice wherever you go. Order your Harlan Hogan Portabooth Pro now, just $389.99. Only at voiceoveressentials.com.
If you haven't heard, myself and the crew over at my podcast, The Pro Audio Suite, have collaborated with Centrance to create our very own audio interface that's specifically designed for voiceover actors. It's called the Passport VO, and it is an amazing product that we want to bring to the world, but we cannot do it without reaching a special goal. We have to have pre-sold 100 units in order for Centrance to put this product into production. I'll tell you, there are just no audio interfaces that check every single box that's really important to a voiceover actor. And this thing also replaces multiple pieces of gear in a studio, like a mic mute switch, a mic switcher. So you have the ability to switch between two microphones at any time with the press of a button, each one of them at the right gain. It has two audio interfaces inside the box. So one is dedicated to recording and the other one dedicated to communications like Zoom and Source Connect. You can do playbacks. It's all built in. Head over to Centrance.com/PassportVO. If you're interested in picking up one. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is George the Tech. I hope you have a great one.
Hey, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and we talk a lot in this business about moving forward with our career, getting more information. We often don't talk about simply getting started. It can be one of the most immovable objects in our life, getting out of our own way and just simply taking the first step. And if you're watching this podcast, VoiceOver Body Shop, for some tips on how to get started in voiceover, or to change something about your voiceover career, or to increase your knowledge in a certain area, check out voheroes.com's Getting Started in VoiceOver. If you go to voheroes.com/start, you'll get all the information. It's really cheap, and I give you a lot to get started in the business, but you might also learn something if you've been in the voiceover business for a while. voheroes.com/start. That's voheroes.com/start.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Ah, yes, Bill Farmer. I had his wife's card, and she's the person you talk to, and then when I got back from Atlanta, I couldn't find the card. So now I got to call Bill. Bill said, I want to be on your show again. And haven't had him on for like 7 or 8 years. So
that's right. He was at VO Atlanta, too.
That's right. He was, as was just about everybody else.
It was quite a show.
It really was. Anyway, we got lots of questions here that we want to get to. Again, you still have time to get your question in if you want in the chat room in Facebook or in YouTube Live. Anyway, one from Moose, and I saw this question, and I'm like, yeah, I can relate to this. It goes, my wife and I are thinking of taking the plunge and buying a vocal booth. After sort of planning to build one, we've gotten a lot closer to just buying one of the prefab ones. Smart idea. My question is, if you had $5,000 to $10,000 to spend on a booth, which would you go with? Studio Bricks, Whisper Room, VocalBooth.com, or any of the others that are out there. I need something that's going to negate, or at least mitigate, any toy droppings on the floor above me and my special needs kid and my wife's spirited work phone calls. You ever notice how your spouse has to talk so loud on the phone as if all of her friends are deaf? Yeah, that's good. What's going on? Yeah, I'm like, they can hear you. Conversational. Use your indoor voice. Anyway, which booth, if you had $5,000 to $10,000, and I remember he wrote this question in, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty easy. If you got $10,000 that you're willing to spend on this and you don't want to build one, get a Studio Bricks. What do you think?
They're pretty hard to beat. Are they perfect? No, but nothing is. Will they stop the sound of toys falling on the floor above you? Depends on the toy. if it's a 10-pound bowling ball, you're going to hear it, guaranteed. If it's a...
Who's dropping a 10-pound bowling ball in the apartment above you?
It can sound like that with kids, you know? But if they drop a Lego toy on the floor, probably won't hear it, right? Depends on the loudness of the sound, the frequency of the noise, right? And most of these booths do not have the sheer mass and weight to stop bigger sound waves like that. Like when something hits the floor above you, that big impulse of a noise is going to go right into your booth. I guarantee it. If someone's vacuuming right overhead, the sound of the beater bar on the carpet, yep, you're going to hear that in your booth, pretty sure. But your neighbor, your wife in the other room on the phone probably will do an excellent job of cutting that out, like 90, 95, 99%, right?
Yeah.
Very much depends on the frequency range of sound. Studio Bricks has an incredibly good door. They're very good looking. Receiving them by shipment can be a pain in the neck. Depends on the shipping company that ends up bringing it to your door. So there's a lot of pros and cons. I actually have a blog post about it on georgethe.tech, the pros and cons of comparing all these different booths written out in a very long post. So I would recommend you go take a look on my site and read the blog post, because I'm not going to read it here. That'd be a waste of everybody's time. But I spent a lot of time comparing them. But the short answer at this stage still is probably going to be Studio Bricks on the whole, with the other ones all coming in a close second in a lot of different ways.
Right. And I think here's the thing about vocal booths is most people don't understand these were not invented for voice actors. No, the original intent of these things was so a musician could practice in a booth and not bother people on the outside, like in a music studio somewhere, so they could keep practicing. But it also, the thing is it keeps sound from coming out. It also prevents sound from coming in. And therefore,
that's a lot harder, by the way.
It's
a lot harder to keep sound from getting in than it is to keep the sound inside from getting out.
Why is that? Okay, I didn't mean to stump you on that one. But
well, I mean, I have my theories, but like, I don't have a bulletproof answer for that question. It just, I know that very few of the companies will actually give you those specs, but one that actually does is Studio Bricks. They actually show you on two different charts how well it isolates sound from the outside and how well it keeps sound from getting out of the booth. And you'll notice on the whole, by far and large, it definitely performs better at keeping sound inside than it does at keeping sound from getting in from the outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a thing for sure. Yeah. So look at the numbers, make sure when you're comparing, you're really comparing the specs and the stats apples to apples.
Right. You know, and if you got that kind of money, that's why we're saying, you know, studio bricks aren't cheap. If you're willing to spend that, it's a great way to guarantee that you will have a quieter space. I've always been of the opinion that if you can cut exterior noise in your home to where your microphone is by, say, 10, 15 dB, that may be more than enough to get you where you need to be for a home voiceover studio. And you can build one for sure. It's going to take you about as long to build one as it is for Studio Bricks to deliver one. It's not easy. There's a very specific way to build a booth, and you need somebody who actually knows how to do it, or you watch a lot of videos from the manufacturers on how to do it. But we recommend that you get, if you need that kind of silence or that kind of quiet, get yourself a good vocal booth. Any one of them will work. You got that kind of money, you can go hog wild and get a Studio Bricks. Well worth it. Question from Jeff Holman. I'm going to take your suggestion, George, and get some sound panels from ATS to put behind me as a background in my on-camera self-tape studio. Jeff is also an actor that you can see on a number of programs and a couple of movies. But I don't know about the burlap cover. Do you have any experience with their alternate fabrics like micro suede? And how important is it to have a fire rating, which the micro suede apparently does not have?
Well, a fire rating is important in a commercial building. You literally can't install products that don't have certain fire ratings. So you'll break the, you know, you'll get in big trouble, right? So in a home, you can put whatever you want in your home. You know, it's up to you whether you care about fire rating stuff or not. Micro suede is just a nicer sort of furniture grade looking kind of material. It's a slightly more lively in terms of reflectiveness. So sound, higher frequencies tend to bounce off it a little bit more, whereas the burlap lets all sound right through the fabric extremely well and does a better job. The burlap is more transparent. The top of the line stuff, the Guilford of Maine, is a lot more expensive, but it looks the part, and it does still acoustically is still acoustically transparent. So, it's up to you what you want to spend on the fabric. If you're going to put it behind a backdrop, like a green screen or something else, doesn't matter what fabric you use. Use the cheapest stuff; you're not going to see it anyway. So, it depends on whether you want the panels to be seen or not. But the burlap has the best bang for your buck, and that's the default, which comes with that.
Yeah, I just noticed in the chat room someone said, could you define a cassette recorder? Knowing our audience, you all know what a cassette recorder is.
I would think our main viewership would understand what a cassette recorder is. Yes. If you don't know what that is, first of all, Google it, and second of all, who's the guy? There's a guy that does a great YouTube channel. It's all about retro tech, including cassette recorders and everything else. I can't remember his name right now, but if I find it, I'll put it in the chat room.
Excellent. You get the question from Max Goldberg.
Our headphones. Max has, speaking of noise canceling headphones, the Sony MDR7506, yay or nay? I would call them an acquired taste. I think a lot of people start with those because they are so common and they're not very expensive and they make their music sound really awesome. But then when they start using them for voiceover, they start realizing it magnifies every little tiny mouth sound and little tiny flaw in your voice, which will make you go crazy overanalyzing your audio. So you may not want something quite as bright and crisp sounding as the Sony headphones, because it might make you nuts. However, if you have had a hearing test and you've lost a lot of your hearing above, say, 4 kilohertz, then a headphone that boosts those frequencies might be actually helpful to you. So there's no way for me to judge that for you without you wearing them and trying them on and listening. So you really do need to do your due diligence and try out a lot of different headphones, whether that means buying and returning, going to a great music store that actually has them on display to test, or doing a tremendous amount of research and reading really geeky headphone blogs about comparing the benefits of different headphones. You're not going to know until you put them on your head. Like earlier in the show, I swapped between my Biodynamic DT770 Pros that I've been using. This is only the second pair I've ever owned, and I've been using them for 25 years. They really, really last. I replaced the headband and the ear pads, but they still work great. But they don't sound, when I'm wearing them and talking into the microphone, these sound a little bit, for lack of a better word, muffled. So I don't hear quite as much detail in my voice. So when I switch to the Harlan Hogan headphones, they have a little bit more detail. So I can actually hear the little details in my voice. And when I'm doing a live show, that's actually beneficial versus voice acting. So whatever it is, try them on, wear them. If you don't like them, don't keep them or give them to somebody that you know. I also know voice actors like Scott Rommel who have had that pair of headphones on one ear for 25 years and has lost almost all of his hearing in that ear. So
yeah, that, not good.
I'm a little bit concerned about that, the incredible brightness of those headphones. So
yeah. Yeah, and interesting to note that a lot of the argument about do you wear headphones when you're doing voiceover, when you're recording or not. And I think my philosophy on this is starting to ruminate around everybody else. There are some people, no, I've got to hear every little detail in my voice, therefore I have to wear headphones. And it's like, no, you really don't want to be listening to yourself through your system when you're recording. And the reason you would wear headphones is, one, you don't want to disturb everybody else in your house, and you don't want to use studio monitors and you need to edit, and they're, you know, headphones are great for that. Or for listening to a director while you're doing a remote session. Other than that, trying to listen to yourself is kind of distracting, and you forget that it's not about your voice. It's about you communicating the message as another human being to other human beings, and usually one-on-one. And so you don't want to, like, get into the sound of your voice, and that's what a lot of people do. But if you got a good pair of cans to edit with, it's great. Yeah, and we like the Harlan Hogans because, you know, they're very flat response. They give you exactly back what you recorded, and that's the most important thing. Question from Grace Newton. George?
Grace says, I'm conducting remote video interviews for my podcast with guests who will only be using their computers, mic, and speakers, because clearly Grace likes a challenge. What are some basic things that I can request of them to better the audio on their end? Well, this exact question came up a couple weeks ago, and I answered it by saying I wrote a whole PDF about this, and I gave it to Maz Jobrani, the comedian whose podcast I was listening to, and I didn't like the sound of his guests. So I was like, hey, you need something to help you produce better audio quality from your guests. And this was mainly during the pandemic because normally they would do the show in person. So I typed up a whole article. The article I'm going to put a link to in the notes, so, or in the chat, so you can grab that right now. But it's essentially put the computer as close to their face as possible. So you need to get the microphone a lot closer. If you and or they are not willing to buy a $30 USB mic, that's what you're going to have to do. Otherwise, get them a $30 USB lavalier mic, plug it into the computer, have them plug it in, and clip it to their shirt, and it will sound 10 times better than the microphone in their laptop because it's closer to their face.
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend.
You know, I think maybe we need to start doing a show about podcasting tech. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there, but I've seen a lot of people going, this is how I do it. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, that's fine for you. I mean, we have our own way of doing a podcast because we relate it to voiceover. And right. So we use voiceover mics and we have them set up to do voice, to make this sound like you're doing voiceover. And
but we're interviewing voice actors that have gear.
That's right.
So, and it's amazing even when they do have gear, how they don't know how to get good sound out of that gear. But a lot of these folks like Grace are interviewing people that have zero gear.
Right.
I do find that hard to believe that you've made it through 3.5 years of teleworking and remote working and you don't have a headset yet. Or any kind of a basic USB headset or anything yet? That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. So, I have to listen to those podcasts and see what's going on there.
Yeah. I mean, how did you make it through all that time? Unless you just literally don't work for a living, and you don't need any of that stuff, then good for you. But how could you make it that long and not have at least something, even a gamer headset or the bare minimum, even a AirPod? I mean, an AirPod will sound marginally better, but still a lot better than the mic on a computer that's 3 feet away.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I see people using AirPods, you know, for television interviews. Like if you're watching the news, we're now talking with so-and-so expert, and they're using AirPods, and it sounds like they're, you know, in a large hall with no acoustic treatment, and that's not good. You know, a podcast, again, we're talking, you know, again, broadcast quality. The bottom line is you don't want it to sound bad, and there are a lot of things that can make it sound bad. Echo is one of them, so a good acoustical environment is important.
Also, not wearing headphones will make it sound bad. Yeah. You want to have the worst possible experience, have everybody on laptops with no headphones.
Right, exactly.
Guarantee the worst possible experience.
Yeah. Oh, Denny Hankler, our good friend, came up with this.
Hey,
TechMoan website for vintage audio.
There you go. Denny is on point. I got to hang out with Denny after NAMM on Friday. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, TechMoan. You talk about a rat hole.
TechMoan.
Start watching TechMoan on YouTube. It's a lot of fun because he does a lot of geekery about retro tech, recording technology, consumer technology, tape decks, you know, all that stuff. It's a rat hole, but it's kind of fun. You'll enjoy it.
You know, it's like, how do people get hooked on these videos? Oh, that's why.
Old time.
Suddenly half an hour goes, I get up in the morning. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh crap. It's 9 o'clock already. Anyway, Scott Dragset asks, I have a Studio Brix 1 booth and use a Neumann TLM-103 mic. Good combination. I've been told there are some inherent sound issues with this mic being used in such a small space, even with all sound treatment. Can you comment about any issues you know about regarding problems with this setup? You know, a TLM-103 is a Neumann TLM-103. It's a very sensitive mic. So, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's sensitive, and a lot of other mics are sensitive too, even a Rode NT1. What those mics all do is they hear a lot of what's going on around them, not just what's in front of them, because they have a wide cardioid pickup pattern. So the tricky part with Studio Brix 1, the smallest booth, which I actually have one sitting right behind me, I've been doing experiments with, is the TLM-103 wants to pick up the reflection off that door. Huge piece of glass, and the microphone's right next to it. So I highly recommend covering the door with a heavy drape. Just get a compression rod, shower curtain rod, put it across the door from one wall to the other, and hang a nice heavy drape over that glass and get rid of that giant piece of reflective resonating glass.
Yeah, and you'll have a much more...
tremendously. Yeah. And at the low frequency end of things, the bass trap end of things, I don't know, it depends on your voice, Scott. If you have a lot of content in your voice at 80 hertz, you're going to get that booth to ring, as I have found, and you need a lot of bass trapping. The one I have, I have four corner traps that go from floor to ceiling stacked up in one corner. Or three of them in one corner and a fourth one up above the head near the mic. And that seems to calm it down really, really well. But it can be challenging. The rest of what you can't clean up at the low end, you just do with EQ later. You know, you just do a little high, low cut and just roll off the bottom end. And that usually cleans it up.
Yeah. You know, and of course, hanging the curtain makes your booth look a lot more bohemian, which is kind of cool. One last question from Jeff Gelder. I'm being forced to upgrade from Audition 5.5. 5.5?
What do you mean being forced?
Why are you being forced
20 years ago?
Yeah, they're like, hey, we're not supporting this anymore. That I've used for years. Now I'll have to get the subscription-based version. Anything I should know ahead of signing up? Yeah, it's 20 bucks a month. It's the best 20 bucks a month you're ever going to spend. Because Adobe Audition is just, it's got the workflow for voiceover. And the fact of the matter is, if you're still using that, Jeff, you really got to get into literally almost the 21st century.
Well,
5.5 is...
The good news is that 5.5 is of the newer generation of Audition. So it will feel not too unfamiliar. Like if you're going to CC, the Creative Cloud version 2023, it will not feel entirely foreign to you, right? But if you came from 3.0, they are pretty different. So that's the good news. It won't feel that terribly different. If you have a lot of effects racks that you have created in 5.5, they are not likely going to translate and work in the new version at all. So you'll have to rebuild those. So there will be a few pain points there, but I think in the long run, you'll think it's worth it. I think the feature sets, the capability, the tools, the processing it comes with, all those things will, you'll find it to be worth it in the long run. But yeah, it's a little bit of a process. Don't worry, you're not losing 5.5 by installing the new version. The old version will still be there. But it sounds like you're forced to upgrade because you're buying a new computer that doesn't support the old version, yeah. I guess, is what I'm thinking. So if that's the case for you, then, yep, you just at some point have to take the plunge.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's all getting right. A new computer, yeah.
That would crash. Okay. Time for a new unit there, Jeff. All right. Great questions, folks. That's what we love to get. And remember, you can always send us questions ahead of time and get top of the queue when we start answering your questions. Mm-hmm. Just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. That's our email address here at VoiceOver Body Shop. And I get those questions, and they get to the front of the line when I do the show notes on Monday morning. Anyway, we'll be right back, and we'll clean things up and get ready to go home and have dinner right after these important messages.
This is the Latin lover narrator from Jane the Virgin, Anthony Mendez, and you're enjoying Dan and George on the VoiceOver Body Shop.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. There's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products, and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources, and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions, bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, home studio setup, and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
All right, my turn to do a live spot for our new sponsor, even though they're an old sponsor, and that is VoiceActor.com. VoiceActorWebsites.com is still there, but VoiceActor.com is a great website because it will allow you to build a website really, really fast and get it up and on the internet. Because as a voice actor, you got to have a website. It's just, you got to have some sort of an internet footprint out there, and a website is the most important thing. So what you have is voiceactor.com. You can build your voiceover website in minutes. Yeah, it literally took George and I 10 minutes apiece to get our kids' websites for voiceover up there. It's the fastest way to have your voiceover website up and running right now, according to Paul Adamson. They're designed and templated, so it's real easy. Oh, I want this design. You can still customize the colors and all those things, but you can get it up really, really fast. They're mobile responsive, super easy to use. You can edit it yourself, so you have complete control. You know, you don't have to call your webmaster. I want to add a comma and a colon here. Oh, that'll be $25. Not the case with VoiceActor.com. Get your website up. It is built for voice actors by voice actors and founded by voiceover pros like me. It was my idea. Believe it or not, it was my idea to come up with this, and it's finally there. So join over at voiceactor.com and you will have an amazing website just for you.
We are the World Voices Organization,
also known as WOVO. We're the not-for-profit industry association of freelance voice talent. VoiceOver is a complex entrepreneurial business.
WOVO is there to promote the professional nature of voice work to the public, to those already established in their voiceover practice,
and to those who want to pursue voiceover as a career.
Membership benefits include
a supportive and creative community,
a profile and demos on voiceover.biz, our searchable directory of vetted professional voice talent,
our exclusive demo player for your personal website,
our mentoring program, business resources, and our video library,
our annual WOVOCon conference, a fun and educational weekend with other members with a chance to learn and network,
webinars and great speakers, and weekly social chats with other members around the world.
If your world is voiceover,
make WOVO part of it. World Voices Organization.
We speak for those who speak for a living.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
All right, and we're back to say goodbye, but got to let you know that next week we'll be back live at our usual time, 5 Pacific, with our wonderful guest, Rebecca Davis. We love Rebecca.
Right on. Hopefully
See her enough. She's just right across town, but we run into each other in other places across the country. It's like, well, gee, why don't we get together and have dinner or something like that with all our spouses and friends and just, you know, not talk about voiceover. Let's talk about travel. You know, Rebecca and I were in Paris at the same time, and amazingly, we did not run into each other.
I mean, who'd have guessed? You'd think two voice actors in one city, they got to run into each other at some point, right?
Absolutely. All right, let's thank our donors of the week, because without them, we wouldn't have donation money to keep the show going. Robert Leadham.
Stephen Chandler.
Casey Clack.
Jonathan Grant.
Tom Pinto.
Shelley Avellino.
Greg Thomas.
A Doctor Voice.
Antland Productions.
Martha Kahn.
949 Designs.
Christopher Epperson.
Sarah Borges.
Philip Sapir.
Brian Page.
Patty Gibbons.
Rob Ryder.
Shauna Pennington Baird.
Don Griffith.
Trey Mosley.
Diana Birdsall. And Sandra Manwiller. All righty. Again, if you need help with your home voiceover studio, that's what George and I do. You can find me over at homevoiceoverstudio.com. And George is over at
George.tech. And this week, coming up after the beginner one we're having on the 18th, we have a 25th date for the Reaper Advanced webinar. So if you want to get deeper into Reaper, head over to George.tech and use that VOBS fan 10 for 10% off.
All right. We need to thank our sponsors who've been with us loyally, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
Oh, my goodness. Still here after all these years. VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActor.com. And WorldVoices.org, the industry association of freelance voice talent. WOVOCon's coming up. You got to be a member to go there. Orlando, Florida. It is May 5th through the 7th at the DoubleTree Hotel there. Going to be a great time if you want to meet up with a lot of your peers. If you're a member of WOVO, join us. If you're not a member of WOVO, join us and then join us. Anyway, thanks to Jeff Holman in the chat room tonight, getting us all those great questions and talking with our wonderful audience out there. And Sue Merlino for knowing when just to hit the right button when we say something. Like, if I say, if you want to write to us, you find us at
the
guys at VOBS.tv. I caught her there. All right. Whatever. All right. Oh, and of course, Lee Penny, just for being Lee Penny. Come visit us, Lee, for crying out loud. That's going to do it for us this week. You want to know something? Voiceover is not an easy business. Really hard is making sure that your audio is right. But we've come to the conclusion that if it sounds good,
it is good.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk.
Tech Talk. Tech Talk. All right. We'll see you next week, everybody. Have a good one.